is Ryan Miller, and for the past 15 years, I've helped hundreds of people to raise millions of dollars for their funds and for their startups. If you're serious about raising money, launching your business, or taking your life to the next level, this show will give you the answers so that you too can enjoy your pursuit of making billions. Let's get into it.
When building your career in the private markets, you will need to master not only how to make money, but how to grow and keep it too. So my next guest comes from a fund with $1.4 billion under management and is about to hit you right between the eyes with these answers. So the question is, what are you doing to create and grow your wealth? All this and more coming right now. Here we go. Hey, welcome to another episode of Making Billions. I'm your host, Ryan Miller, and today I have my dear friend, Whitney Elkins Hutton. Whitney is the director of investor relations at PassiveInvesting.com. It's a private equity firm with $1.4 billion under management. So what this means is that Whitney has a mountain of experience in real estate and private equity, and she's about to blow our minds on how to master your business and your wealth. So Whitney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on, Ryan. This would be amazing.
It's good to have you. So, you know, you and I have got to know each other offline a little bit, and I'm just curious, like, where did this begin for you, and how did you even become an expert in this industry?
Well, I first want to start off that I am a huge follower of this show. So I just can't wait to provide value here. You know, how did I start off? Well, I bought a house in 2002 with a significant other, and the relationship fell apart about a month later. And voila, I had a house. Complete accidental landlord. But I panicked. I thought I was going to lose everything. So I stuffed it full of roommates and paid my friends in sushi and beer and pizza to help me replace the green shag carpet and paint over the psychedelic daisies on the walls. And fast forward 11 months later, I had a completely beautiful house and I sold it for about a 52K profit. But during that time, I actually was making money because my roommates were covering all the bills for me. And actually, I was putting a little bit of extra cash in my pocket. I actually sold the house, closed. And that's when I realized, oh, wow, I made almost just as much money, probably more so, at, you know, something that I was working at nights and weekends on than I did in my day job that had me traveling almost 60, 80 hours a week. And so I was completely bitten by the real estate bug. So that's how I started off. First deal went well. Second deal, not so much. I thought I was completely hot stuff. So I take this 52K and I'm like, I'm moving to the mountains. I've made it big time, right? Like, we're talking on a show that's called Making Billions, right?
Yeah,
I had 52K in my pocket, like totally had not made it. But I was just completely beyond the moon. So I go to the mountains and I buy this mountain home. And you know, a few months later, I lose my job. And my dad's at home. He has failing health. So I was traveling back and forth. And I'm like, you know what? I just can't really float this. I mean, I need to get rid of this property. We're going through the closing process and they flagged the retaining wall on the backside of the house as cracking. And I'm like, you know, my neighbor has a bus, a tenant living in that bus, and that bus is sitting on the wall. Just have her move the bus and then we'll repair the wall. And, you know, we go our separate ways. Now, fast forward, you know, about 35, 40 days of work. Repairing this wall, like every contractor, I feel like in the county, in engineer in the county signs off on the structural integrity of this wall. And I'm sitting here, the guy just moved his bus over my neighbor's portion of the retaining wall. Guess what? It started cracking. And I was like, guys, I don't know about this. Anyways, we close on the property. My neighbor tenant is now allowed to move his bus back into position and the bus fell into the roof of the property.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So a bus collapsed through the roof of that house?
Yeah, it just literally the wall, this bomb-proof wall, gave under the weight of the bus, and that bus just toppled into the roof of the house. I think on that property, I pretty much broke even. But then by this time, I've met my now husband, and after this experience, I was like, okay, I got it. Let's go start buying property and fixing flipping property. And, you know, living in it. And he was like, are you sure this real estate thing's for you? And I'm like, no, I got it. I got it all figured out. I've made, a plethora of mistakes. We're all good here. But that was just like kind of the kickstart to my journey because, you know, it really taught me that I could unhook my value from my time, the value I created in the world from the time that I was putting into it.
Brilliant. You know, when you and I were talking, and holy cow, and these are real stories, folks. This is, you're jumping into the private investing game, whether it's real estate or any other asset classes, anything can happen. And so these are how you learn. This is how you become a pro. And, you know, I'm sure now you're at, you know, a huge fund. It's $1.4 billion under management. And maybe you had dreams of that. But these are the things that you have to go through, right? As the saying goes, right? Calm seas do not make a great sailor, something like that. And so going through some of these challenging deals make you a better deal maker, right? And so I'm curious, you know, you and I, we've gotten to know each other offline, and you also have your PhD. I mean, you have done so many things. You've mastered almost everything. You're the classic, they grow where they're potted, right? So everything that you've done, you've grown and you've done very well with your PhD. I mean, during this time, I mean, where did it go from taking your PhD, working to full-time real estate? Maybe walk people through, because this is a journey a lot of people go through when they're working. They've got great accolades through education. And then they make the jump in the private market. Maybe walk us through a little bit on that moment so that, you know, other people can understand what that's really like to jump from this nice, secure job and cozy into the carnivorous world of private equity.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of think of it the other way around. I mean, you know, stay in a job for 40 years, you know, tied to a cubicle, that can be a little more daunting. But yeah, so, you know, I had this first deal, and quite frankly, the second deal. You know, it was a lot of lessons learned. And, you know, but this entire time, you know, I'm working towards my PhD. I'm building a nutrition practice, a personal training business as well. I thought of real estate kind of as a side hobby, and like, great, if I can eliminate my housing expense, you know, bolster my savings in retirement, you know, I've that's what the real estate's supposed to do for me, but I'm going to, you know, make my mark in this world with the nutrition and the personal training. However, the more every project I did, I was like, why am I doing this? Right. It was really kind of a lesson learned to me. I was like, I was able to create value in the world a much different way. And I think that's really, I had to connect those dots. Like, you know, my background was in public health, total Rene Russo, Dustin Hoffman style in, you know, outbreak. Like I wanted to, you know, investigate diseases, but I could also make an impact by providing, you know, clean, affordable housing. And so, you know, my husband and I are doing these fix and flips, you know, making, you know, buckets of equity, but we couldn't figure out how to like unlock those golden handcuffs. And it was really when I, you know, kind of put two to two together that if I actually can change my mindset to think about how I can create a similar type of value as I would in public health through real estate, then I can like, you know, reorient like my purpose in the world. Did that. And then we were off to the races. We decided to start keeping some of our flips. And, you know, we built a portfolio of 36 single family rentals, bought a 52 unit building. We're continuing to fix and flip about 10 properties a year. You know, probably on average generating just under $1 million, you know, in capital gains, which now we've got a whole tax problem here, while we're doing, you know, scaling up this way. And then we hit our next level of ceiling of achievement, and we needed to figure out how to, you know, leverage more, because when you have single family properties and you're doing fix and flipping, you're very active in your business. And we were in this to get our time back. And we wanted to have freedom of location, freedom of choice, freedom of time, so we could have freedom to go create this impact in the world. And so we're like, okay, I think multifamily is the next logical step. Are we going to do that on our own? Are we going to find partners? Are we going to, you know, am I going to try to like learn the whole private equity realm and join a partnership? Well, I did all three. don't suggest doing that, but like, you know, ready, fire, aim. Let's go figure out which one of these strategies is going to work the best. And it was kind of a little test. You know, the 52 unit building, you know, we bought that in partnership. You know, we learned, took a lot of lumps. We learned a lot of lessons. I raised, you know, stepped into a position to be able to raise on 29 deals with a private equity group. And made a partner, a minority partner at that group, and, you know, became the general partner on 10 of those deals. And that was really where the light bulb started to come on for me. Like, yes, with single family rentals, I could achieve unlocking my value creation in the world from my time, but I could create a much larger impact with these larger communities and be rewarded for it.
Wow, that's brilliant. And so you can see, folks, that you just keep doing deal after deal and you keep leveling up just like Whitney has done. And then pretty soon you're general partner or minority partner and then majority partner. And you just keep scaling in progress, right? As the saying goes, progress equals happiness. So you mentioned, so you went from just doing one deal, paying people with beer and sushi to buses falling through roofs and all of these wild things in the early days of your journey. This is absolutely crazy. And then you keep going and it gets, you know, refined a little bit. And so now you're at passiveinvesting.com. Maybe walk us through a little bit of what that firm is and really why people, you know, what's the value you bring to the market?
Yeah, massiveinvesting.com. We're a private equity firm focused on providing high quality institutional grade assets that provide cash flow, equity growth, and tax benefits in the hottest communities in the United States. Our current focus is in the South and Southeast. We love multifamily, buildings of 150 units or larger. We love self-storage units as well. Kind of our unique asset that we have currently is the Express Car Wash. So we do both acquisition strategy as well as development, and we're looking to scale that to 150 to 200 locations and possibly IPO that or do a roll-up exit to a REIT. And then we also have a first position real estate debt fund. And I was really hoping to be able to talk about some of our new pref equity funds that we're going to be rolling out here soon, but not quite ready for that. We are looking to partner with operators that have nice, high quality, stable, deals, not ones that are distressed where, vacancy is going down, the rents are going down, but maybe they're just struggling to, make that new cap, interest rate cap. They need that, a little bit of infusion of equity, and we can take on a private equity position, private debt position in that. And so we don't have all the specs worked out on that fund, but we're going to have that rolling out here very soon. But that's what I do professionally. Also, personally, I also coach investors on how to start building and scaling their portfolio in real estate, and more specifically in private equity real estate. And I have a book coming out here with Bigger Pockets here in the next couple, probably two or three months, whenever this gets aired, early 2024, Money for Tomorrow, A Sensible Guide to Building Wealth.
Wow. So you're writing a book. You could see, Whitney is classic, someone who just will not be stopped. This is amazing. So you're writing a book called Money for Tomorrow and the Guide to Private Equity with Bigger Pockets. I mean, shoot, most people have heard of them. They've got a wonderful production. And so you're partnering up with them. You're teaching other people how to do it. You've jumped with both feet into private equity and multifamily, self-storage, car washes, and your first position debt as well. And so you've really rounded that out, and that all culminates up to $1.4 billion under management. You've got a plethora of experience, and a lot of people listening to this show, this is what they come for. They come to hear wonderful people who've pulled off amazing feats that you have. And I'm wondering, for those people who've come to hear you today, is there any pieces of advice, or better stated, are there any cheat codes that you can provide our listeners based on your experience? What are some of those lessons that that can really add value to your space?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favorite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
Yeah, I mean, there's two that I center on, building your foundation. One of the foundations of building is just how you think through problem solving and setting up your objectives, your strategies, and your tactics. Now, everybody, is used to saying goals, let's write a SMART goal, strategic, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. That's great. That's a nice tactic. But I want to back it up even further with three fundamental questions that you should be asking yourself, initially, every couple months, but then, eventually, you can space it out over every 4 to 6 months, as you hit, levels of achievement that you need to bust through. First question is, what do you want? Let's get super clear on what you want and attach an emotion to it. So it's not just, I want $10,000 a month or I want $100,000 a month. I want $100,000 a month because I want to buy the beautiful lake house, in Seattle, or I want to have, the top of the line Mercedes Benz, whatever that happens to be, or Porsche or Shelby, Cobra Shelby. My husband's going to kill me that I didn't get that right. But anyways, let's attach that emotion to it. And then the next question is, why do you want it? And, you're going to have two whys, right? You're going to have the why that is very painful. There's usually something, a problem you're trying to solve or a pain you're trying to run from. That's going to keep you motivated on a daily basis to continue moving forward. But we want to dig deeper. Tony Robbins says, dig deep, seven layers. Like, let's get down to the layers of why that you just cannot viscerally name. And usually those are freedoms, like financial freedom, time freedom, freedom of choice, freedom of location, freedom to create an impact in the world. Okay. That freedom is going to be your North Star. That's how you should be building and scaling your business. Okay. Because how many times have you talked to business owners and entrepreneurs that they build one product and then or the business one way and they pick their head up 2 or 3 years later? And then all of a sudden they're just like, it doesn't work for me anymore. I'm working too hard, or it's not the right product market fit, or whatever that might be. We got to have the pain, and we also have to have that guiding North Star. And then once you have those two anchors, let's collapse time and try to get you there as fast as possible, which is, who do you have to become in order to get that? What kind of mindset do you need? What kind of skills do you need? Okay. And what kind of network do you need? And here's a little cheat code on the skills. You don't actually have to learn all the skills. You just need to have a large enough network to bring those people into your world to help you with that dream.
Yeah, that is brilliant. I love that. So there was a wonderful book that it reminds me, and you're spot on. So too many of us, I think, as a fan of Tony Robbins, that you mentioned his name, and he talks about the tyranny of how, right? You ever hear him talk about that? And so he just says, like, of course, he calls the thought process the tyrant, right? So it just encompasses you, and it's really hard to just get things off the ground, right? So we would say this is a guy that kind of knows, we would say he knows a few things. So, you know, the tyranny of how, and what Whitney's talking about is like, well, I mean, yes, there's a point. Someone's got to do something. Eventually things need to start happening. But what she's saying is it doesn't all have to come from you. You could be a connector, right? You can connect people. And I think there was a book called Who Not How, by Darren Hardy. And it's just saying, like, find the right people in your network. And for those of you who've been following the show for a while, we know that the two most valuable assets in your possession are your reputation and your relationships. You see how Whitney is tapping into it. When you want to achieve over $1 billion, what got us here won't get us there. And what that means is often reputation relationships are what's required. So you can start today and buy a house where a bus falls through the roof, right? You could do that. Hopefully not, but you can, right? You can go get a property. There's lots of things, take courses, and there's so many resources available that Whitney and I didn't have in the early days when we started in this world. But now, if you really want to take this serious, what Whitney did is, you could tell she went from a solopreneur, and now she's like partners on deals and has minority and majority and all of these things. As you scale up, it's a function of your reputation and your relationships. Many other things obviously had to go right before that, but finding those skills can be from your group, not necessarily from your own energy. Dude, that's absolutely brilliant. So building the right foundation, what do you want? Why do you care? And there was a study that was done, if I could echo, because I absolutely love what you're talking about. And there was a study that was done on highly successful people. And in fact, it actually echoed exactly what you're saying, is they found that there's this pull and push forces that have pushed and pulled someone towards success, meaning there's this big golden carrot in front of their face. So they got this, what do I want? And it's in front of me and it's super close and I'm going to chase after it. But also they got the metaphorical big scary dog behind them, stuff that freaks them out. And that could just be, I'm freaked out to not have freedom, like you talked about, Whitney, freedom of time or location, or freedom to take my kids to school, you know, because I'm the person that wakes up when it's dark and I get home when it's dark and kids are always in bed. And and you can say, look, that is terrifying to think that I'm going to live like this for 40 years or 30 years or however long your career is. And so you have this big, we'll say the metaphorical dog chasing and nipping at your heels, as well as a big golden carrot. And they found that people who are wildly successful in their careers or whatever it is they take time to really clarify what those competing forces are. And then they grab the bull by the horns and align that energy of what's chasing me and what I'm chasing to motivate them and propel them towards success. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we call that in business alignment. And so why can't we translate that skill into our daily lives? I mean, it sounds unsexy. Like, let's take a business skill and apply it to our life, but it's true. Like, you know, I just got finished listening to a leadership masterclass by Jocko Willings. And I'm like, yeah, I think he just taught me how to raise my child. It had nothing to do. And the whole masterclass had nothing to do about, like, communicating with, you know, a tween. You know, I was like, oh, that's what I need to be doing.
That's brilliant. And, you know, you've made, we'll say you made a few bucks throughout your career, which is great. That's why we're here. And that's why people are listening. Making money is one thing. So the ability to create wealth, and we've kind of talked about that. And we mostly talk about that on that show. But what have you found throughout your career that goes beyond that? Because yes, obviously you need to create it, but there's so much more that follows beyond that. What have you found in your career that ties into mastering the whole wealth game, not just making it, but everything involved? What is there any advice that you've found over having financial success that you could share with our audience around the world?
Yeah, well, absolutely. And so, you know, my path is like, you know, led my husband and I to be able to scale a portfolio of over 6,500 residential units, 2,200 self-storage units, 15 express car washes, a myriad of other, you know, businesses and stuff like that. But that's just, I mean, those are vanity numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's all in service of this greater why that we have. Also, at the same time, I've also had the unfortunate experience of dealing and settling with 5 estates, 3 of which were trusts and 2 probate. And the total loss between all 5 of those estates, you know, and we're not talking about like, it was just unnecessary loss, was $700,000. Now, Ryan, I don't know if you're a math guy, okay? Like you're a finance guy.
Yes.
Compound out $700,000 by 7% over 30 years, really fast.
Yikes.
$5.3 million. It adds up very quickly. And so that's just that. And here's the thing is my situation is not unique. Now, somebody else's situation, you know, may not be as grave as what has been in my family. But, you know, I'm seeing this loss happen over and over again with colleagues, with friends and family. And so it really propelled me, you know, to take what I have cultured and grown as an investor to go back and pull together the underlying fundamentals on how do you create and build wealth and pass it on. So if you think, you know, follow me here. If we call the wealth game or the multi-generational wealth a game, we have to understand the objective of the game. To have as much income coming in to cover your expenses to do what you want, when you want, whenever you want, okay, and be able to pass that on to the next generation. Okay, but understanding the objective, like I don't know if anybody's ever played Settlers of Catan or something like that, you know, or Seven Wonders. Like you might go, okay, I get the objective, build the longest road or get 10 points, victory points. But now I need to know the rules. And then somebody tells you all the rules and you're like, okay, great. I know the objective and rules, but now what's the strategy? Like how do you actually win the game? And so that's what I do with people at Ash Wealth. And so here, what we're trying to do is connect again the objective, the strategy, and the tactics together. So I'll just kind of impart just the 4 rules that, you know, somebody, if they're going to win the multi-generational wealth game, they need to understand. They need to understand, like you said already, create wealth. Okay, how do we move our income from linear income, trading time for dollars, to residual income? Where we're earning income that doesn't require our day-to-day involvement. Now, especially for real estate investors, that's who I work with. A lot of them are like, I'll just start acquiring single family properties. That's fantastic. But at some point in time, we need to elevate you out of that business. Either you need to scale it to where you can hire a team, or you need to pivot and learn how to invest in other people's businesses in order to get yourself out of that. Which leads to the second part of creating wealth is how can we take advantage and move our limit our time involvement. Okay. And this is where venture capitalist is, you know, the perfect vehicle for this, like, you know, as a way of moving from linear to residual. Then you get it. Once you start figuring out how to like, you know, exit that trading time for dollars, you know, how you create value in the world. Now you got to keep it. Now in real estate, most people get in real estate because they love saving on taxes. We don't want to pay Uncle Sam. But there's actually three other areas that you need to pay attention to. Like, how many fees are you paying? How much are you paying in insurance? Are there junk insurances there? If you're investing in any type of retirement account, what are the retirement fees there? And you know, combine all that together, that can actually erode a considerable amount of wealth. And it can actually rob you of your future earning power. If you're investing in a retirement account, you also have another ticking time bomb, potentially, and that is provisional income. Okay, now I'm not an accountant, but you know, guys, go look at provisional income. You get double taxation if you are investing in a traditional retirement account, especially if you plan to withdraw more than $25,000 a year in retirement out of that retirement account, okay? Then growing wealth. And I think this is where, especially in the real estate world, clients that I work with, they're very focused. How do I become the best investor possible? But as you can see, that's only one little sliver. That's one little skill. That's one little tactic to master. You have to master all these other areas of money. And so, but to grow your wealth, I have, you know, a quick little nugget I can impart is learn how to invest on principle, not headlines. So always invest in assets that protect your capital, have an element of cash flow to them, equity growth, tax benefits associated with them, you know, smart use of leverage, inflation hedging. And then if you're not going to be the operator of the asset, that they are invested with an amazing operator, okay? Somebody that can actually run that business and protect your capital. And then we get to the fourth stage. Like, if you think of this as like Mario Brothers, maybe I'm dating myself. You got to like be able to scale up to all the different levels. You know, now we're getting towards the end of the game. How do we pass this on? Well, here we want to focus on three areas. And most people are like, oh, I got my will. I got my trust. I'm good. Are you? What would happen if you slip and fell and like knocked yourself out and you're, you know, in a coma for, you know, a month? You know, have you planned for your incapacity? So make sure to sit down and you have all these documents in place to actually and plan in place to plan for your incapacity. Make sure you have all those, all of the wills and trusts, you know, in place to pass the assets on. But don't forget to train your heirs. So that is probably the number one area. And, you know, you and I were talking the other night, you know, it's not just about how, do I have my emergency binder, you know, listed out with all the accounts and who to talk to and passwords and all that. No, this is literally train your heirs on, hey, this is what you're going to be inheriting from me. And this is, you know, our philosophy, our money philosophy. These are our values as a family. And this is, you know, why we built this and why we want to continue to build and scale it. And let's start thinking about what you might want to do with money as you grow it and you think about passing it on.
Wow. Brilliantly said. Holy smokes. You know, as we round third base and we take this, our time together, and we're closing in towards the finish line, is there anything else that you would want our fans around the world to know, how to contact you, anything at all?
Yeah. If you are wanting to learn more about passive investing and, you know, understand your goals, risk, and timeline and how we might be able to help you at passiveinvesting.com, you can visit passiveinvestingwithwhitney.com. That gets you right to my free ebook, my calendar, and we can talk all things passive real estate. And if you're somebody that are like, wow, I really need to figure out how to win this multi-generational wealth game. You know, I'm an amazing investor. I'm an amazing venture capitalist, but I need to like kind of get all my like ducks in a row around the finance piece. Reach out to me at ashwealth.com.
Perfect. Well, you know, just to synthesize everything that Whitney and I talked about, really build the right foundation. So in your pursuit of making billions, it's important to build that foundation. And that really starts, as I always like to say, success is an inside job, meaning you got to understand stuff, build the blueprint of your life in your mind first, right? So success starts by getting whatever's going on the inside. Get that good, get it calm, get it focused, right? Whatever that is. Starts with, what do you want? Why do you want it? Who do you need to be? And that goes into mindset, beliefs, skills, all of that stuff in order to get it. The other thing is the four areas to master and create, to create and keep money is create, keep, grow, and then pass it on. You do these things and you too will be well on your way in your pursuit of making billions.
Wow, what a show. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. Now, if you haven't done so already, be sure to leave a comment and review on new ideas and guests you want me to bring on for future episodes. Plus, why don't you head over to YouTube and see extra takes while you get to know our guests even better. And make sure to come back for our next episode where we dive even deeper into the people, the process, and the perspectives of both investors and founders. Until then, my friends, stay hungry, focus on your goals, and keep grinding towards your dream of making billions.